I thank God for America. I thank God for our country. I thank God for the freedom that we have here. But let's just open the Bible if you have one, or if you want to just turn there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the second verse of what's written in the Old Testament of the Bible. It just says this in verse 2. It's right in the beginning. If you're having a hard time finding it, right after the where it tells you who printed it and how old it is, right after that, and who gave it to you, right after that page, it should be where we're at. Genesis 1, verse 2 says this. It says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It says it was formless and void. There was no shape. There was nothing to it that would say, oh, this is a beautiful planet yet. But what there was God was present and the Holy Spirit was present. And I don't care what phase you're at in your life, whatever is going on, whether it seems like this is just mundane, day in, day out, the same thing. Maybe there's a formlessness and a void to your life. But I want to tell you something. If you invite the Holy Spirit in, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to have His rightful place in your heart and in your life, and for Him to be the overshadowing presence, which He desires to be, if you will invite Him to that position that He rightfully has paid for through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, then you're going to experience things that happen out of the formlessness and void of what is your everyday life that are going to be supernatural and spectacular. It says that when He spoke, all of a sudden, everything that was dark became light. That from that moment on, there was an ordering that began to come. Light became separated from darkness. Water became separated from dry land. It was the Holy Spirit's work to be able to bring creative flow to the things of our life. And so many times people get stuck living a life that there's just no creativity left in it. You know, as a kid, you think about, what do I want my life to look like? And, you know, you get to those ages, and you're looking at life partners, and you have all these ideas of what they will or won't be. And somehow, we get disappointed a few times. The next thing you know, we can be walking this mundane, just checking off the days on the calendar life. And we were never created for that. We have the Holy Spirit who hovers over a void, formless planet. God speaks, and all of a sudden, it becomes everything that we see when we go outside for a hike in the woods. The birds, I wake up every morning, we've got the camper up on the property that the church is going to build a new facility on and everything, and we're remodeling the old house that's there, and every morning between the frogs and the birds and the squirrels and the chipmunks chirping and stuff, there's just this chorus of sound out there. There's this amazing thing that's been happening before I was born, before you were born. It's just always been out there. This resounding demonstration of God's creativity and His flow and the fact that He can speak thousands of years ago things into existence, and by seed, they're still reproducing and they're still carrying out their function. And you just lay there with the window open and you just think, my goodness, Holy Spirit, You set all this stuff in motion. When You overshadowed the deep and the formlessness and God spoke and He said, let there be, all of a sudden You went to work and You created something beautiful out of something that was just mundane and predictable. And I want to make sure if you're a young person in this room tonight, don't settle for a life that's just mundane. Don't settle for a life that's just paying the bills. Pay the bills, but make sure that you don't stop there. There's got to be something more to life than just finding the right person to spend it with. It's incredibly important, but you're more valuable than that. You are the container that God designed to live inside of. When He birthed you again, He decided, I'm going to live in these ones. Jesus said, it's better if I go away, because if I do, I'm sending my Holy Spirit, and He will live in you, and He will be with you. It's a powerful statement. This isn't just a better life because I go to church and give a couple of hours and some money once a week, and I go to a life group, and I sing about Jesus. It's so much more than that. It's about you being transformed to becoming a world changer the way that Jesus was. It's not about a better you. It's about a brand new you that's never existed until you believe it by faith. Don't let someone put you into a career path so that you can make more money. You know what? The older I get, the more I have no use for money. It's just, it's such a snare and a trap. Yes, we need a few million of it. If you have extra, you don't know what to do with, please give it, because we need to build with it. We need to build buildings with it. There's stuff, but to have it in your account so that you can like show your buddies, hey, look what I got. Look at my boat. Come on, if that's the extent of what we're giving our lives to, if that's what the American dream has become, we've missed the point that the founding fathers established for us through what they wrote in the Constitution, that we would be truly free people to make decisions that we wanted to make, provided we don't infringe on anyone else's freedom of their own space. But that's a brilliant concept, and guess where it came from? The Bible. Because Jesus came that we would have freedom, freedom from sin. You can't have freedom without freedom from sin. It's impossible. If you're not free from yourself, you're not free. And you were born into sin. The seed that Adam passed on to you is broken and it's selfish, and all it cares about is making sure that you are provided for when you get it to a certain age of life. So that nobody has to take care of you. Guess what? That was never God's intent. We were supposed to take care of each other. The community of the saints was designed so that families could stay together, so that when one person didn't have wheat, someone else did. And they had a chicken or an egg or whatever they had. We were designed to need each other, but the American dream has said, no, you have your fences, I have my fences, and we'll have a few million of these, and we're all going to be happy. Yeah, we're real happy, folks. I'm only get upset because there's such a deception that's behind it, and it comes into the church and people wonder why, well, this doesn't feel like a family. I wonder what's weird, and people just, the meeting's over and everybody just leaves and doesn't even say hi to nobody. It's because you're trying to bring America into the church, and the American dream is not God's dream for His church. It's the dream that we would be one family together, where our boundaries are dissolved, where the Holy Spirit that lives in me, lives in my wife, lives in Carrie, lives in Wendy, lives in Don, lives in every single one of you. The same Spirit, not a dumbed-down version because I'm behind a pulpit and a microphone. But the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in the hearts of everyone who believes. Jesus said, greater things than I'm doing are you going to do if you believe. When people came with a problem, He says, if only you can believe and do not be afraid. I just get discouraged when I see people buying into the garbage. Because I see people that get the American dream. It's not what our founding fathers were looking for when they established the Constitution so that we would all have the freedom to pursue happiness in the way that we wanted to. Wasn't it? Because they were just happy and content to have food to eat, to have a place to stay warm in the winter, to be able to have something to share with others, to have a place where foreigners could come through a place called Ellis Island and could be able to start to establish their own place here. There was so much space and so much love and so much provision that it was too big for them to contain in themselves. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's why I'm so passionate about what we're building. We're visioning a school and daycares and all kinds of stuff up on that hill with 75 acres, so we can certainly do more than we're doing on this 3. And look what we're doing on 3. And it's in my heart to do it. Why? Because the church was never supposed to be impoverished. Was never supposed to be a place where everybody's so busy building their own stuff that they don't have an extra whatever to sow into what's going to change the community by the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be a resource. We're supposed to be a place where people come in and they can just be so loved on and blessed that they don't even know how to respond. They're overwhelmed with it. And that's what's in God's heart when He said that the church is the force that the gates of hell won't stand against. He wasn't talking about people that just come in for their daily dose or for their weekly dose of time in God's presence. And I love the worship, or I didn't like it today, or I don't know, Pastor Josh was all over today, or he really nailed it today, or the bagels didn't seem right, or they had no cinnamon raisin left, or whatever. We make it in our American, we want to have this right to happiness. Let me tell you something. When you come into the kingdom, that right to happiness is not something that translates in. You've got a right to lay down your life for the one who laid down his life for you. That's what this is really all about. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. This life I live in the flesh, I don't live for myself. I live for the one who gave himself for me, laid everything down so that I could live forever with him. But our lives are overshadowed. To pretend that they aren't is silly. But right now, we are overshadowed by freedom still in America as Americans. And it's 4th of July. There's a video I want to just show. It just helps us remember that freedom's not free. Freedom comes at a price. The freedom that I'm talking about, the spiritual freedom that we have if we believe in Jesus Christ. We didn't pay anything for it. We just believed in it. Do you think it didn't cost anything? It cost God His own life. It cost the Son of God His torture, though He didn't deserve it. Every gift you've ever given someone, if you wanted them to value it, guess what? You paid the price for it. They didn't pay anything for it. Don't confuse the gift of salvation, the gift of life, the gift of righteousness, and think that because it was given to you freely and without any strings attached, that somehow it's just something that's cheap and something that you can trample on. It was paid for at a high price. It's just you didn't have to pay it. Religion says, well, maybe you need to try to pay some of that back. You need to show that you really... No, that's the opposite side of it. That's as much of a lie as the other side, that it's not valuable. You can't do anything for it, but you can receive it. Yes. As we look at this video, I want us to just realize the freedom that we have has been paid for by people, and then we're just going to wrap it up. So appreciate the people that have valued our nation's freedom to the point where they gave their lives down. But this morning, as a pastor, I'm asking us to just consider, what did God do? Because he came himself to establish our spiritual freedom. We'd sold out. Adam sold us out in the garden. He committed treason against God. He ate from a tree that he was told, do not eat of, because when he did, something was going to change in the way that he viewed good and evil. And if you think there's a part of us as a culture, global culture, that's broken right now, it's being able to tell what's good and what's bad. Because some things are still toxic and they're poisonous. You can call them good and you can enjoy them all you want, and then you find out, oh, there was a harvest to that. It was actually poisonous. See, there's absolute standards that God doesn't just rewrite because we decide to believe something different. There are certain absolutes about planet Earth that God knows about, and he knew what was right for us. And I'm just speaking to you this morning about your potential. What's your potential? What's the potential of a seed that you've been born of that's the very seed of God himself? Time of year we plant things in the ground, we expect them to grow into what they're going to be. You can't make a sandwich or a stir fry out of the seeds that you're planting in your garden right now. You can't. It's not going to happen. I mean, you could. The chia seeds and all that stuff, right? That stuff's terrible, though. Who wants to eat that stuff? It's terrible stuff. I think they just do that. It's like a boot camp to see, are you serious about getting healthy? And then if you get past that, they say, oh, this is what you're really supposed to eat. You don't have to eat that. Ground up seeds and stuff anymore. But all that stuff, when it begins to produce a fruit. Jesus said that his plan was that we would glorify the Father by the fruit that we bore, that we would bear much fruit, that it wouldn't just be that we walk around as Christian seedlings, but there would be a maturing in our life where we're full of his love and full of his grace to a place where we're able to reproduce him. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is everything who Jesus was. Oh, I've got competition. You trying to upstage me already, son? I thought you were going to play the piano with mom. A little bit. But one of the greatest things, I think, that robs us from our potential, and I'll just speak to this one issue, there's many, but I think in the West right now, the greatest problem that robs us from actually going from the potential that's in us to seeing it fulfilled is the fact that we can imagine a whole bunch of stuff. We can visualize on TV screens. We can sit with our thumbs and go through armies and wars and planets and galaxies and fight battles with starships and spaceships and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we can do all kinds of stuff all in our minds, but having no actual doing of any of it. And it concerns me because then that comes into the church. You have a whole bunch of people that sing loud and just make a lot of noise. And I'm not talking to us. I'm talking about just people in general that get trapped in this model of what it is to be a Christian in America. And you miss the fact that America has come into your heart in a way that it shouldn't have, because not everything about America is just golden and gravy. There's a selfishness about you pursuing what pleases you that's actually becoming the downfall. Because that's out of balance with the sacrificial part, which also goes with it. We should have a good time in life, but there's a part where you earn the money to afford what you're about to feel good about. Now we just borrow it from the next generation and they'll figure out how to pay for it, or maybe they won't. Because this selfishness has crept in. But all I'm saying is that there's way more in us that needs to be expressed than that what gets expressed. One of the biggest reasons is that because we can get the sense of it without actually doing it. We can have the sense of thrill and adventure by jumping on a roller coaster, but meanwhile, your life wasn't in danger. You just screamed like it was, and they took pictures of your face, said you thought it was, but inside you wouldn't have gotten on the ride if you actually believed, I might die before this ride's over. But what if we were created for a life of that kind of risk? Maybe I'm talking to the young men, I don't know. What if you were created for a life that goes to foreign soil and gives itself up for the sake of the freedom of the homeland you're fighting for? What if you're born and designed by God to be a voice in the desert someplace, in a wilderness someplace, that they don't like your message and you get strung up and killed and executed, stoned, whatever they do to you? You know, that's been happening. It happens daily in the Middle East right now. If you're a Christian in many countries in the Middle East right now, you, if you're found out, you will be publicly humiliated and killed. You have to be to follow through the Sharia law properly. That's what's required of them. If you're caught in adultery or homosexuality, anything, you are executed. Big parts of the world live like this. Massive, millions and billions of people live under this kind of oppression. And we have this freedom here, but are we willing to settle for just the sense of adventure? Because the older I get, the less value I have for money, the less value I see in trying to save my own life and build things around it to protect me. Thank God I got life insurance this past month, so I'm feeling maybe that's where it's coming from. I know my wife and my family, they're all protected no matter what happens to me. But what if the value of a human was the value before God that it can impact people who are trapped in darkness? What if the voice we've been given as individuals to speak to people who are trapped in darkness, that are going to hate what we have to say, are going to attack us for the truth that we proclaim, what if that's our highest level of expression that God has planned, but we think it's a yacht or a golf or a house on a golf course or whatever else we think it is? What if that's why we're unfulfilled? What if that's why people need drugs to wake up in the morning, and they need drugs to fall asleep at night, and they need drugs at lunchtime because they're so anxious from the drugs they took to sleep and wake up?
Yeah. Come on, brother.
Sorry. Wasn't supposed to be funny, but they're drugging an entire nation of what was once a wise, Bible-based minded people to death, to confusion and to delusion. Trying to chemically fix something that can only be fixed by the finger of the Creator who made us, who gave us our purpose in the first place. God saw that we needed a solution to where we were. He didn't send a package in the mail. He didn't drop a container out of heaven that showed up someplace with unknown language on it. We opened it and suddenly there was enough grace for a planet. Or there was enough mercy, or there was enough love, or there was enough peace, or there was enough healing. He sent Jesus. He sent His own Son. Jesus, John said when he wrote about Him, Jesus came full of grace and truth. Everything we needed from God in terms of the grace was contained in Jesus. Why do you think it is that we only find our victory when we're in Christ? In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him, I'm a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's finally living the purpose that he was created to live. He's finally seeing the way he was supposed to see. So many people go through life with a broken set of eyes and a broken set of ears and a broken down body, and they wonder why it just seems like another day on planet Earth. Because you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to overshadow you, to show you that you were created for more than what you were birthed into. There's a great song called "I Can Only Imagine What It Will Be Like." It's a beautiful song. It's an amazing song, especially processing grief and people. And that day is coming when there's no more pain and stuff. But guess what? Jesus didn't say you got to just endure until you get there. He said, pray this way: Our Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, if you can only believe, you can say to the mountain, move, and it'll move. He doesn't say we have to just only imagine what it would feel like to go parachuting and do it in a virtual set of goggles. He said, guys, I'm offering you a life that's going to have real risk, real death, real danger, real fulfillment. My challenge to me is I want to finish living my life with purpose, with significance. However many days, weeks, years, months I have, I want to live it in a way that leaves something behind that someone says, I want whatever that guy had, because he lived a life that people didn't see, but he saw something that I need to see. And you're clapping right now because that's the same thing for you. You know that in there someplace you feel the same thing. Roller coasters are great. Thrill rides are fun. Bungee jumping's awesome. Cliff jumping's way better. You can't go as high, but when you hit the water, it actually hurts. When the water's stuck behind your eyes, you can't see for a minute. Like I said, I'm talking to the guys. All the girls are looking around like, well, I'm glad I'm not a guy. We're driving back from the road trip that we were on, which was a big stretch of our faith, 7 weeks gone with the kids. We didn't have the money to do it. It all just kind of came in, and we're coming on the return leg, and there was a big sign that said, you know, struggling with depression and all this list of things, you're probably just unfulfilled. It was unfulfilled.com or unfulfilled.org. It was a ministry designed just to try to help. And everything that we have here in America, people aren't fulfilled. We have all the stimulus, all the favorite shows, all the best actors on primetime TV now. You don't have to go to the movies to see them. They're all coming over onto TV. Why? Because people are glued to the imaginational experience of something, but they're not actually living it out themselves. These people are making millions and millions of dollars on other people sitting on a couch. Christians, we were made for more than that. We were made to get behind stupid pieces of wood that are going to roll through the street and worship Jesus. Not because the float's amazing, because... Listen, folks, the cross was nothing special. It's just a bunch of wood from any random tree. There was no special nothing. What made it special was the person who hung on that thing. When we gather around something as silly as a parade float and a bunch of musical instruments and we all worship Him together, if one person finds Christ, do you understand the value of that? I hope you do. Because I do. I've seen it. Because I saw the value of myself one day. I spent my whole life just minimizing myself, making myself just feel like if you were anything, you wouldn't keep making the same stupid mistakes, would you? You're obviously that stupid. If you're going to make a stupid mistake, you're obviously that stupid, right? Parents, sometimes we do that to our kids, and we got to really guard ourselves with that. It's because you do a stupid thing doesn't make you stupid. You're made in the image of God. That's stupid? No, God's not stupid. Don't confuse the decisions that we make and we get wrong with who we truly are. And you begin to realize, whoa, I'm made in God's image. I have the value of God to the degree that He's not ashamed to live in me, to send Jesus to hang on a random old tree to redeem my life from the lostness that it was born into because of the fallenness of Adam's seed, and to give me a new seed to birth me again, to give me a brand new life, not just a better one. And now He wants to live in me by His Holy Spirit, not some dumbed down version, but the Holy Spirit, the same one that brought Jesus out of the grave, the Bible says, same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. Same one that overshadowed the formless and void and spoke, and now we have a chorus going on outside in the stars and the creation. That one wants to live in me. Main reason why He can for so many people is because they would never allow themselves to cross over for a second and realize, wow, I'm worthy of that because He said I was. Because He made me that way. Because you've been programmed since you could barely read or understand words. Oh, you just came from an evolutionary process. It was a big accident. Some lightning hit a big pile of soup. And all of a sudden, life started. And you've just kind of grown into who you are now. Don't get too fancy about yourself. Just live life. Get as much out of it as you can. When you die, you'll go back in the ground. Maybe you'll come back again. Maybe you won't. Just live for now. And kids are dying every day of the week from heroin overdoses right now in our area. Because they've just cheapened life down. And then you wonder, we're in shock. Why are they doing it? Because life's just supposed to be that. No value, no meaning, no significance. Just you're here for a while and then you're gone. I know I'm speaking to some people this morning. The only reason you're unfulfilled is because you're just not living the life with the windshield out of your car. Yeah, if you see a guy riding around with his head out, like, I do that in the morning. I do that sometimes. But now I got a moonroof, so I can just stick my head up. And sometimes it's to fix my hair. And sometimes it's just because there's real air. I can't see it, but it's hitting my face. And it just will mess with me for a minute. And I'll realize, man, God knew what He was doing. The stuff that keeps us alive, the air, we can't even see it. How crazy is that? Hold your breath for a minute. You're going to pass out. And the ushers will help you to a wheelchair and get you to the 911. But what keeps you alive? You can't even see it. But we talk about a God that we can't see. And then people are like, oh, is He really real? Is it true? Is it just a myth? Is it a conspiracy theory? Is it just to get our money? Jesus said, if you can only believe, you will see the things that He saw. And I'm tired of blaming excuses and blaming what we didn't have enough teaching about. I'm saying, Lord, whatever I need to see in my life, whatever I'm not seeing that doesn't look like Jesus, double negative, I got it. Whatever I'm seeing in my life that doesn't look like Jesus, or whatever I'm not seeing that needs to look like Jesus, it's just my unbelief. I'm thinking less of Him or less of myself. It's only one of the two things. Because when I see Him for who He is, and I see me, the prepared temple, desired residence of God, then I'm not afraid to open my mouth and to say a few things that later I'll think about and be like, man, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I was just speaking what I know to be true deeper than my mind. What I've tasted and seen of God is not just I can only imagine someday what heaven's going to be like. We can begin to smell it and to taste it and to see God's presence move now. We can see people's lives change through just going through a town proclaiming who He is. Yeah. as loud as we can, and with as many bodies as we possibly can. Let's just stand together.